This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. Well, boys, the Japanese Grand Prix is behind us. Lewis Hamilton wins as expected. And
immaculate.
Yeah.
We hardly saw him.
That's true. And in fact, his team hardly talked to him.
He asked if everybody went on break.
That's right. What's up?
He came on team radio and said, is anybody out
there? They were packing up.
Yeah, they were packing for where were they packing?
Austin, Texas, baby.
Austin, Texas, up next, baby. Boys and girls. I can't wait to be out there in 2 weeks' time, but we got a lot to talk about this evening, all about this evening, this morning, wherever you are. We got a lot to talk about with the Japanese Grand Prix today because, I mean, not that the race was the most exciting, but there were some fun things that happened in the race. And, to me, one of the biggest things that happened is that when Sebastian Vettel did his spin, his Texas two-step spin, that he is now handed Lewis Hamilton the chance to win the championship right here in our little hometown of Austin.
And it's pretty simple. If Hamilton wins and Vettel doesn't come second, it's all over, and which is great news. I mean, it's inevitable that Hamilton's going to win this championship. The question is where, and I'd love it to be Austin, and I think he would too. He would love to win, as he has done before here in Austin, and he just loves coming to America. Simple as that.
Yeah, because he's won here five times every year, except for 2013. So, yeah, it would be great to have it happen here in Austin.
Yeah, and obviously with the way that Mercedes are going, with Bottas backing him up, you'd hardly predict a non-1-2.
Yeah, exactly. And how important is it going to be, you know, talk about team orders in Sochi and everything, how important is that second position going to be
Huge.
Next week?
Yep.
Or 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. And that's it. I mean, you know, if you're one that wants to stretch the season out, you don't want to see Hamilton anywhere in the first five spots next stop here in Austin. But, that's only going to put it off so long. You'd want to see Vettel finish first and Hamilton five plus spots back just to keep it alive. Another two races, I believe, is the way the math would work out for that. So yeah. It's not over yet.
Hey, if you want to call in and join the conversation, call 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. But let's talk about the race. Max Verstappen was very active in this race, Mr. Green.
Well, I said he would attack, and he did.
Max does Max.
If we're going to give, I mean, Vettel just had a terrible day, but that first lap was insanely good. And I think that's why he got a little too overconfident and made the clinical mistake of trying to take on Verstappen early in a race, which, work it out, mate. It's a Red Bull. He doesn't let people by very easily. It looked where he was trying to overtake him. He actually gave him some space, but I mean, it was just not, it wasn't on.
Yeah.
There was no reason to push that early, quite honestly. Sebastian up, and I understand he had, okay, the pack is tight there in the beginning. And so that's when, a pass could be worth several positions. But, there again, you can win it in the first turn. You can lose it in the first turn. You can't win it in the first turn.
Well, and I said that Verstappen would race unfettered, and he did. Yeah. It's exactly what he did. And I'm afraid Vettel, he had his chance, and he's blown it. Ferrari have blown it. And, it goes back to qualifying, and it goes back to way back earlier than that. Since Monza, they really have just gone downhill.
Yeah, if you're going to gamble, don't do it with Max Verstappen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, choose your battles.
Yeah.
Max being Max.
Yeah.
You called it, Jonathan.
Well, you know, I mean, I just felt that I hoped it would be the opposite, which would Verstappen would go after the Mercedes and almost help Vettel. I was really surprised that Vettel was up to fourth. If you think about it, it was incredible, really. He was up to sixth by the end of the first lap. It was a great start, and then he blew it, unfortunately.
Yep. And listen,
and I also don't agree with Verstappen's comments after the race about Raikkonen. I mean, he could have waited and stayed behind me. It's like, it's a race, Max. You made a mistake.
Yeah, so what we're talking about was when Max went off the track, went in the grass, and then came back on the track, and at a very aggressive angle went right over to Raikkonen, and there's no way. It's like, what are you thinking? Why would he wait? That's ridiculous. So yeah, that was a mistake, and Verstappen should have been penalized for that.
The other thing that's significant to think about is going into Austin anyway. We set this up right at the beginning of 2018, back at Albert Park in Australia. This was the two-way battle. We knew it would be to become a fifth world champion. Only two men have achieved that, have achieved further than that. That's Michael Schumacher and Juan Fangio. Juan Manuel Fangio. So, four-time world champion. Both of them were that in this era, which is pretty incredible. All of Lewis's have come with Mercedes power, be it with McLaren or with Mercedes. And all of Vettel has come with, effectively, with Red Bull. So, it's going to be a long, cold, hard winter for Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, yeah.
And it's also going to be a real wake-up call when he looks across in February at the guy standing over him. And it's a good-looking, very, very fast bloke who's going to challenge him just as Ricciardo did. So Vettel's got to have, you know, some real thinking time. He needs some long walks in the park.
I can't help but think of Lewis Hamilton right now. Thinking back to, we're sitting right here in the studio and you're talking about, you know, is Hamilton making the right choice moving to Mercedes? And, the reason I say that is because all the paths, you know, I know that Hamilton's obviously one of the best and he's proven that now, but man, there's so many good drivers that have never gotten the chance. And what if he'd seen
him? Look at Alonso.
Yeah, exactly. I was
By
just going to say,
they were teammates at McLaren.
Yeah. If Hamilton had stayed at McLaren, but I know that's, you could do that a million times.
You can go round and round and round. But he's now going to go down in history as the greatest Mercedes driver of all time, which is saying something, given that Michael Schumacher was up there in the early days when he was a sports car driver for Mercedes before he became a Ferrari multi-hero. But he really is. And Fangio, of course, was a Mercedes hero too. It really is. He's getting up there now. I mean, 80 pole positions.
Gosh, yeah.
Pretty impressive.
And think about the way he's had this season. He's made very few errors. You think about the errors, because if you start thinking about Sebastian Vettel, he's made error after error, I mean, almost every week now. And Hamilton, I can't even think of the last real error that he's made all season.
Well, and also, he's catching a basketball game here. He's hanging out with his mates in LA. He's driving his various fleet of cars around the hills of Hollywood. He's got his time to launch a fashion line between races. I'm dead serious. I'm being flippant, but I'm not. But he's been criticized for his extracurricular activity, and yet he is so singularly focused on what he's doing, and he's been saying it all weekend. You know, he's been trying to make it not about him and more about the team, but we are really seeing that sort of gelling of a really good sportsman in the zone with a team of people behind him. And that's really what Michael Schumacher had. When Michael Schumacher was invincible, you just felt that, you know, it was going to take a miracle to beat him, because and Michael did the same. You know, he got Ross Brawn behind him and Rory Byrne and that team of brilliance at Ferrari, and they were just unstoppable.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, look over at MotoGP. We've got Marquez doing the same thing in Honda. His worst enemy is himself, being, you know, but luckily he can land on his elbow, his shoulder, his head, and he gets up and goes and wins anyway.
He doesn't get up. He just kind of straightens back up.
Goes back
down. I don't actually see him fall off a bike. He just hangs onto it until it rights itself again.
Until it rights itself or it comes to a stop with him underneath it. He says it's... So I was just looking at the constructor standings, too. And I want to talk more about that because of the Haas creeping ever closer to Renault. And
11 points now, right?
Yeah, it's actually down to 8 points after today.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they hadn't updated it when I went there. So, okay, so the constructors, well, we're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting there. And, okay, so with, I mean, mathematically, Lewis Hamilton's got it wrapped up in the Drivers' Championship. So, I mean, it would take some sort of insane situation for that not to happen. But, well, let's talk about more about today's race, going down the grid a little bit, because there was some other activity that was fun to watch. And, you know, I was really disappointed in Gasly, I mean, and Hartley, well, and Gasly, too, not being able to finish a little higher.
Yeah, I was really hopeful, but there is proof that I said to you at the beginning of the weekend, obviously I wanted to see how Hartley could get on, but I'm really looking to the future now and what that Red Bull car is going to look at with a Honda in. And I think this Spec 3 engine that they brought in this weekend specifically for here, because it's their race, proved to be both reliable and fast.
60 horsepower up over the previous one. I mean,
that bodes well for both Toro Rosso and for Red Bull next season.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's sad that it's coming in this late in the season. But I got to admit, I'm pleased to see it. Hartley didn't finish as well as I had hoped with that new package, but it showed potential several times that he had some good battles there. I keep looking over towards Fernando Alonso. You think he's having any second thoughts with finishes like this?
Second thoughts of what? Staying? No, the heck out of Toy Town, yeah.
Yeah.
Not hardly.
Yeah. Serious sarcasm, yes.
It was interesting. I'm just going back to Vettel for a second. I was looking at one of the headlines, and it was the headline for Vettel coming into this Japanese Grand Prix was Last Chance Saloon. Well, I'm afraid it's right here in Austin waiting for him because it's gone and there's a bar open, swinging doors, waiting for Vettel and the brushweed is skimpering on by because the sheriff of Stevenage is back in town. It really is a case of that. And I feel for Vettel because I know he's got a lot of fans out there and, you know, he's a good guy, a pleasant guy. But he, you know, you could see that... they're rough around the edges at the moment, Ferrari, and it's just not gone to plan.
Yeah, obviously he's made a bunch of mistakes. I talked about it earlier, but so has the team. The team's made some mistakes, and I feel like Vettel he's kind of rattled. And even early in the season when he was doing well, I still didn't feel like he was like you were saying about Hamilton and Schumacher. It's like he's not Superman, and he doesn't appear that way. I know he's got four championships, but he is definitely flawed right now for whatever it is.
Yeah, I thought the BBC in one of their lead-up shows were good when they were discussing that same subject, saying, you know, when have we seen an exemplary performance by Vettel this season, let alone, you know, I mean, he's won races, sure, but there's never been there's been some fantastic races by Hamilton where you really go, wow, what a race.
Right.
But I don't think we've said that about Vettel this season in any particular race where you've gone, wow, what a performance.
No, and I don't think his car's held up and delivered as you would expect. He's there, but I just don't see it being supernatural performing as Ferrari historically has done. You know, somebody said something about, you know, Arriva Bene, is it Arriva Derci? I don't know. Who do you point at in this?
I have to say, Ferrari are like a soccer team when it comes to managers and leaders, and they tend to point the finger quickly, and either the driver or the team manager goes. I think they'd be hard pushed to throw Vettel out the way, and he's got another year yet. Could be Arriva Bene, and of course they've had a lot of, I think Maccioni's passing was also something that affected the team. They are an emotional bunch. And, you know, well, you know, that whole decision with Charles Leclerc was his. And, you know, that those decisions may have been different. So I think there's a lot going on in the background. Maybe we do know, maybe we don't know. It could have been a bit of bad luck, but I think it all adds up to a rather crimson-faced Ferrari.
Yeah, it's true. I was looking on Formula One driver of the day. Do you guys know who it was?
Ricciardo.
Yep, Daniel Ricciardo.
I could believe that. I could go with that vote.
Where did he start? 15th?
He did.
14th, mm-hmm. 15th, end up in 4th. So that's, I could get behind that decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Grosjean, who for Haas finished in 8th and probably should have finished in 7th. So they were coming out of the safety car. And Sergio Perez right behind him. Did you hear, Jonathan, did you hear Grosjean's radio?
I can't remember it, but
He was saying that,
I saw the incident where Ocon suddenly saw a Red Bull out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, and he said, well, Perez can't do that. He was too close to me coming out of the safety car. I think that's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he lost those points for Haas moving from 7th to 8th. But obviously, he had the team called it really well and had a great pit stop, because remember when he came out
That's
of the
right.
pits and was able to save position over those guys. So maybe he lost one of those back. But
I'm still, I still continue to be impressed by Haas. For all of their infancy as a team, the maturity with which they're taking on and swashbuckling around against, the old authorities of Formula One is really, really impressive.
Speaking of Haas, Kevin Magnussen, I think the move that he made, he pulled over, that was a mistake.
Yeah,
for sure.
Julian Palmer said, this is not the first time he's done that in a straight line, and he tends to do that too often. And that was, you can't, as Julian said at the time, you can't expect the car behind you to disappear.
Yeah.
When you're that close.
But it is, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, where Magnussen, we like the way he races most of the time,
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I think that was just one of those literally split-second decisions where he made the wrong decision.
I think Magnussen could be as explosive and fun to watch as Verstappen. I mean, I really do.
Well, they're similar.
Mean, very similar style. I mean, and I want him to keep that edge. I mean, you lose that as a racing driver, you probably don't get it back. You smooth the edges off a hard-charging driver, and sometimes that can be not the death of him, but it can be, it can be the detriment to his overall career. He needs that edge. He needs to keep that edge. But, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, you forget Raikkonen was rough around the edges. So too was Vettel. So too was Senna, and Hamilton certainly was in his day.
Yeah. I didn't follow Formula One closely when Senna was racing, but
was merciless. here at Suzuka, Senna caused the end of 2 world championships.
Right.
One, which still is sort of 50-50. The other, he admitted to a year later that he did it purposely, which is the most unsporting thing and dangerous thing you could ever think of, putting marshals in danger and so on and so forth. For all the glory that everybody talks about, I mean, I was a huge Senna fan, but I mean, he was a bugger and a half on the racetrack. And, in this day and age, would be reprimanded the way Verstappen's getting reprimanded.
All right, boys. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the Japanese Grand Prix. And we have a couple of interviews that we're going to play from some young American drivers. Listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Are you craving an adrenaline rush? Well, get your fix at Dirtfish. Get sideways on one of our race-ready Subaru WRX STIs or Subaru BRZs. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition. Test your skills on 12 different rally courses across our 315-acre training facility. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Top 1370.
Hi, I'm Will Hardiman, driver of number 19 WPD More Speed Porsche 991 Cup Car, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. We were just watching the replay of Sebastian Vettel when he came into contact with Max Verstappen. And the guys.
Wait, are you saying Vettel came into contact with him?
What did I say?
You said Vettel came into contact with Max.
Well, yeah. But
I would say Max came into contact with Vettel.
Well, it's one of those things where they're saying it was, they're calling it 80, on the commentators on Sky were saying 80-20. So, I don't know. What do you think, Jonathan?
I just think that Hamilton's going to be playing with Bruno Mars and Britney Spears on Sunday night in Austin because they'll all be world champions. Look, I said it before, you know, Verstappen wasn't actually on the racing line. There was a gap, but I think he faked it anyway, i.e. he's like, okay, you're not going to get through here, and I'm going to let you through. And I don't think he intentionally tried to take him out or anything. I just don't think the gap was big enough, and he was taking on, you know, a guy that doesn't give easily. And I mean, Verstappen was very lucky to get away with staying on track. They both could have gone flying off.
Yeah. I'll give you some of that. I think Sebastian was too bold right at that point, and especially with Max being out of control somewhat, but Max over-exaggerated his return to the track, and he just re-entered dangerously. There was no reason for him to be at that extreme angle when he collected himself inside that apex. He could have just blended back into the line where he went pretty abruptly, you know, acute to the traffic. I'm calling it Max's problem. It was Vettel's problem caused by Max, but I think that's really where I'm going to put my vote.
Well, I want to talk about some other Formula One topics. Obviously, the race today was crucial in many aspects in the standings, and Hamilton's on the cusp of winning this. But there's a couple topics. Jonathan, you had been talking about this a bunch, and I want to talk about this more as we move along and the season comes to a close, because it's something really about next year, and that is betting in Formula One.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating to see this. You know, no matter what you think of it from a moral or ethical or whatever else, it happens in so many sports. But the sport itself, Formula One, is embraced betting in the sport.
I think it's a fun – I mean, I'm absolutely delighted. I think it's great for certainly Formula One in America. I mean, you think about it. I immediately think of Vegas, and I immediately think of how sport in this country is pervaded. You know, everybody's looking at the odds, everybody's looking at the stats, and this sport is full of that. And you know, tipsters, guides, shows like this. I mean, you know, tune in and get what the latest is. Who's well? Who's not? Who's got the new power engine? So you know, there's a lot going on. I do, as I pointed out with Christian, think there's a worry about things like team orders when you're going for betting odds. I, interestingly, while the race was on, went to Skybet, which is part of Sky Sports in the UK, and was looking at how they did their odds and what odds they gave for certain things. And it was interesting because, you know, there is odds for a 1-2 for Mercedes, for example, which gets around that problem I just discussed. There are odds on who's on the podium. There are odds for fastest lap and so on and so forth. So there's certainly plenty to look at. And I think if you were a gambling man, this is very similar to horse racing, where you look at the form guide, you look at the precariousness, you look at the weather, you look at the, all sorts of things, and then you try to go for an outside bet with a little bit of knowledge. And, you know...
And then hope for team orders that don't...
Well, you know, but you why bet on Hamilton at 2-1 every time? Because it's too obvious, but... Think about, like, my prediction, Verstappen. It could have been so different for him. And certainly a bet on Vettel would have been a good one today, coming from ninth. And if you had your money on Vettel, this afternoon, by the end of the first lap, when he was up to fifth place, you'd be like, whoa, I'm in here.
Well, I was in Las Vegas last week and I went to one of the sporting bars there to particularly look at how they were handling just any of it. And so it's not something I'm not that big into gambling, but I was curious and I definitely had to check it out. I asked them if they were doing any automobile race betting yet. And they said, yeah, we do NASCAR occasionally. And you know, it's a small passionate group that does it in person there. But you know, just the nature of it that they have people remotely playing into it. So I think that's going to be something that draws in some folks into this. I think the stats, as you mentioned it, will be so thick. I think this is really going to be a thinking gambling.
But I also think there will be odd odds, as it were, but in that you will get a chance to say, I mean, here would be a good bet. Hamilton to win the championship in Austin, right? Now, the odds will probably start right now, and they probably were before this race. Let's say they were 40-1 before this race of him winning in Austin. You could put a bet. This is where the bets will get interesting. And also betting before the Australian Grand, before the flag drops at the Australian Grand Prix, putting your money where, you know, on
way out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, people might just do outrageous bets and suddenly have them pay off because of a weather situation or whatever. But what I'm getting at is, it, like horse racing, there'll be the obvious 2-1, 3-1, you know, 4-2 kind of stuff where it's obvious that the guy's going to, you know, that Hamilton's not going to give you great odds. Why bet on him? But someone like Grosjean today would have been a good bet because he's fifth on the grid, soft tires, hasn't had a podium, but that's what I would have put my money on, a podium for Grosjean today.
Yeah, if you were wanting one of those long shots a little
bit. Right, that's what I'm getting
at. Longer shots. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're trying to make money, which is the idea, I guess, then you've got to look for a bet that is, gives you good odds, but, you know, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
The goods are odd.
Sounds like an engineering school.
So what about the sports? You know, since I don't gamble at all, so I don't know.
You're hanging out with me and Les.
That's definitely a gamble. Do the sports themselves get involved? Like, you know, I think of the old baseball where, who was it? Pete Rose, that got in so much trouble. And so they feel like the sports were distancing themselves as far as they could from betting because they didn't want any taint of that happening in the sport. So, I mean, it seems unusual that the sport itself being, because Liberty Media is talking about, you know, embracing this.
Well, and so is the NFL, by the way, and the NBA. So, I mean, you know, it's coming.
Do they? So they do.
Yes, it's happening. And there is a worry in the NFL. You know, the thing in soccer that's gone on for many years is throwing games, referees turning decisions the wrong way or giving penalties or literally teams throwing games. And there's been many sports that have been, you know, have been criticized both for doing that And there's been some, you know, there's been some monumental, and the horse racing being, you know, I mean, there's lots of great scams down the years of getting the results before the, you know, before they close the betting type thing. Now, of course, they've got to regulate that. They can't have insiders. You can't be calling up Ariba Benny and going, well, you know, what's going on? There's got to be some policing of it, but, I think it can work, and I think it can work well. And I think it's good for the sport because it generates an interest that isn't there, and that's very hard to do in a modern sport.
Well, I think you wind up with some personal interest in the finish more so than just your favorite color car or driver or nationality.
Well, what's interesting is, a bit like horse racing, people bet with their favorites. It's a human nature thing, which is, if you are a Hamilton fan or you are a Vettel fan, you know, or you're a Rossi fan, you know, you might, because of that, you bet on him, and the win, if you like, is more satisfying. The loss is less satisfying, but it's, you know, it's the same as egging your guy on, you know, and if you've got $10 on it, what the heck?
Sure.
Well, it's interesting that you think it's a positive thing. So did the stock market.
Okay,
so
good.
The stock rose.
I like to be in line with them.
The stock market rose. For Liberty Media, rose 8% right after that announcement. Now, you know how
that wasn't my Sean Bratches interview then.
No, I don't think your interview with Sean Bratches rose their stock by 8%. Okay. No, but I mean, the point is that a lot of people agree with you.
Good.
And rose their stock by that amount.
Well, I think all modern sport is looking for something that, you know, that's going to generate something else, you know, and you've got to remember you've got betting places at the venues as well. You know, NASCAR has looked into this and is now doing it. They're trying to keep their crowds, and NASCAR's a great example. NASCAR's been more involved than perhaps most. And if you were betting at the track, you know, if you've ever been to a horse race, it's fascinating. I mean, I don't know nothing about horses, but that's half the thing is to go there and sort of take a flutter. And, and suddenly you've got some skin in the game.
They've only got one horsepower. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages, and we're going to continue some Formula One discussion and a couple of interviews with some young drivers in the United States F4 Championship. Back after these messages.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Breanne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility. Online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing in Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Have you ever wanted to be a race car driver? Well, you can at Dirtfish. Handle an all-wheel drive Subaru WRX STI or rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZ rally car at our 350-acre training facility. Learn how to control a car in any situation, on any surface, in any condition. Go fast, get sideways. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
Talk 1370. Drive me
crazy. I just can't sleep. I'm so excited. I'm in 2D.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
That was Gene Haas bringing us back.
That was Britney Spears.
And Britney Spears.
Backed up by Britney Spears.
She's going to be the Sunday night concert here in Austin.
Hey, and folks, If you are wanting to see a Formula One champion crowned, if you want to see Bruno Mars, if you want to see Britney Spears, if you want to have a great weekend in one of the most happening fun towns in the US of A, come join us at the Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, you want to come see an event with 250,000 other people at a $500 million amazing facility, then
and the only facility on the planet that has Indy and Formula One.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man, these next 6 months are just going to be insane.
Rallycross was a
hoot. We had a great time at Rallycross at COTA. Last year on vacation, man, you missed it.
I did.
I got to go in a Subaru around a portion of Circuit of the Americas. It was actually pretty cool. And we had a cameraman in the car. We had him rolling all around in the car. It was awesome. I almost rolled out of my front seat trying to keep a microphone on the driver.
There you go.
Anyway, we got Circuit of the Americas up next.
And some of them, I'm going to say, some people are coming to it for the first time, but they're not just coming to sit in the stands. They're coming to race.
Yeah, that's right. And those are we got some of drivers in the F3, F4 championship coming to Austin. Young drivers like who we had on the earlier show, Dakota Dickerson.
He's the champion of F4, but we've also got F3 coming as well.
Yep.
They'll be the support classes for F1. And over the next couple of weeks, and starting with tonight with Dakota, really, I want to introduce you and teach you more about these young drivers. They're full of it. They really want to get amongst it. They want to be the next stars. And today,
full of it in a good way.
Huh?
Full of it in a good way.
Full of it in a really
not
good
like
way,
the
yeah.
Jonathan Greenway.
Thank you so much, Les. It is 3 a.m, so you should be happy I'm full of it right now. Okay, so, but I really want to get everybody knowledgeable on these young guys, because, you know, when Lando Norris lands on your plate and you go, who's this guy? Or when Lance Stroll sort of arrives from nowhere and you think, well, what did he do in the lower ranks? Well, now you're going to know, because these guys are going to tell you who they are. They're going to come on our show. And we're going to learn about their progress, and we're going to follow them at the US Grand Prix. So I spoke to James Raven, who is a young English driver. Funnily enough, racing here in America, but on the road to Indy. He wants to do IndyCar. So James Raven, he is second at the moment to Dakota Dickerson in the championship, and I asked him what his thoughts were about coming to the Circuit of the Americas.
Talking of living the dream, how excited are you to be part of the US Grand Prix? Bruno Mars, Britney Spears, Lewis Hamilton about to win the title. I mean, it could be quite intimidating, but I'm sure as a racing driver, you say bring it on, because this is what you live for, isn't it? This is what it's all about.
Yeah, thrive on it, absolutely. You know, take the opportunity, and this is a moment to try and kind of impress more people and be like, oh, who's that? You know, who's that driver out front or near the front? You know, that's how I'm looking at it. And yeah, it should be a great weekend. I've heard a lot of great things about Austin. Everyone in Houston that I've met has said, oh, have you been to Austin yet? You know, it's a great place, great people. So I'm really looking forward to it. And like you said, also the concert on Saturday night with Bruno Mars and Britney Spears will, especially Britney, will take me back to a bit of early childhood memories and nostalgia.
You chose Jim Clark as your hero, which I thought was great, because there's not many of your generation who probably wouldn't even know who Jim Clark was. Why do you choose him in your bio as being a hero?
That's a scary thought that not many people would know who he is. Everybody should take note. Well, he was an absolute genius in a car. I mean, I've done a lot of research into racing and a lot of history. I love the history of racing, you know, all across all aspects of it, you know, MotoGP, F1. But I chose Jim Clark because he was, from interviews I've seen of Jackie Stewart and other racers that racing, they said he was probably the most naturally gifted driver they've driven against. You know, he just get in the car and just had the ability to just find speed wherever he could. And he had the instinct to kind of go where the car, take the car where it probably wasn't possible for other drivers. So that was a huge reason. And I love the kind of old days of F1 and racing where, okay, it was, you know, dangerous, but it was fully on the edge. I mean, don't take anything away from the drivers these days, but those drivers back then, I mean, the risks that they took was just unbelievable. And to think these days, you know, hardly anybody would step in those race cars is frightening thought.
It's very true. Well, it's a great choice, and I couldn't agree more with you. But bring it up to modern day, Hamilton or Vettel for the fifth title, who and why?
Hamilton for me, not just because he's a Brit. I mean, I love Sebastian as well. He's a good guy off camera, but I think Hamilton's got the points in the bag. He's got the, you know, going in, he's got the comfortable gap that he needs. And I believe going into this weekend at COTA, he'll secure the title if he, you know, if he keeps the car on track and can just bring it home, then he doesn't need to push over the edge too much. So I think he's just such a raw talent as well. Speaking of Jim Clark, he's amongst those kind of raw talent drivers. And I think he is definitely in my top two or three drivers on the grid.
Prophetic words then from a young man who should know. He's following in their footsteps, and he'll be at the Circuit of the Americas, James Raven from Great Britain, but based in Houston, Texas, I may add.
Yeah, that's
all
cool.
All right,
we got another caller on the line, Melvin from Louisiana. Melvin, welcome back to the show.
Hi, guys. Great show. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
What are you doing up?
He's getting the boiling pot ready.
I'm finishing watching the race.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, gotta be think? Up and wearing, working in a couple of hours, but I don't watch every one of them that I can.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Who do you like? Who's your team?
Hamilton's my guy. He's been my guy, you know, since he started at McLaren, and, you know, followed him over to the Silver Arrows, and he's my guy.
Well, Melvin, I think you if I'm not mistaken, you'd call and won some tickets earlier on. Are you getting ready to come on down?
Yes, sir, I am. I received the tickets yesterday. And
awesome.
Really, you know, this, as I explained when I called and won them, this is a bucket list event for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
Where are you going to try and plop yourself? Do you know where you want to sit?
I'm kind of torn. Straightaway speed's great, but I like to see the cars work. So, you know, not exactly sure. And I'd have to look at a map of the track to, you know.
The reason I asked is,
pretty much if I can be there and see cars, I'm doing great.
All righty. Well, I tell you what, aim for turn 5 on the outside of the track.
Yep.
It's right near one of the pedestrian bridges that cross the track, but it's a great view of the S's and the ribbons all the way back to turn 10. And you might even see some of the straightaway speed going down the back straight.
Yeah, and also after you've done that and you got bored of that one, head over the bridge and go and hang on Haas Hill, which is right underneath the tower, and you'll see them coming through turn 16, 17, the triple apex. And that is fast and furious. That's just a phenomenal place to watch Formula 1.
And that's just the perfect...
Awesome.
It's so CODA is that there's so many good spots. You know, neither one of y'all said turn 1. You know, like that's the iconic place to go watch the race. Or turn 12. It's like there's so many.
Right,
turn 50.
Right, right.
You know, there's a ton of good places.
Well, Melvin, don't forget your sunscreen, comfortable shoes, sunglasses,
right.
A hat.
This ain't his first rodeo.
Earplugs.
He's in Louisiana.
You're going to love it.
He's got some sunscreen.
Yeah. Well, if I can ask a question about it, because I'm completely in the blind about it, the tickets I received. Is this like just for race day, or is it for the whole weekend?
Those are three-day
passes. Tickets. You can go
Friday,
all 3 days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and includes both concerts and all that. So,
yeah, bring your dancing shoes.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm bringing my 18-year-old son. I'll let him do all the dancing.
Oh, he'll love it.
He's going to love Austin.
Honestly, tell him to bring a camera. I know he'll bring his iPhone or whatever he's got, but, you know, that's going to be something really special for an 18-year-old.
That's what's special for the both of them to do it.
It's special for him. I'm a guy that works out of town a lot, been out of town for most of his life. So this is kind of like a bonding thing. And
awesome.
You know, and we both have exchanged that the greatest thing about this will be that we'll be able to do it together.
Yeah. Fantastic. I've done it with my dad, and he got me into this in the first place. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a really true great weekend for both of you.
Wow, that's great. That's special. Melvin.
So we're dug in. We'll be there, I don't know other than show up in Austin and bring the wristbands, but that's what we're intending to do.
Wristbands and a hat's all you need.
There you go.
Wristbands, hat, and sunscreen.
There you go,
Melvin. Thank you so much,
and hopefully no hurricane.
Well, here's the good news.
We're
Melvin.
Far away from the coast, so you're okay.
Here's the really good news. You could see your top man crowned world champion. He only needs to finish ahead effectively. First, if he finishes first and Vettel doesn't finish second, he's won the world title here in Austin.
There you go. Yeah, so it'll be a beautiful day. Maybe we'll get close enough to get a little champagne on us.
Come on now.
Oh, absolutely. Gets towards the end of the race. Start making your way over towards the turn 20 to turn 1 stretch and be ready for that gate to open and scoot on out on the track and come up under the podium. We'll see you there.
Will do. Great.
All right, Melvin, thanks a lot. We'll see you in Austin in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Have a great weekend, Melvin.
All right, we're going to go straight to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little MotoGP, too. We got MotoGP today, and we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Breanne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility. Online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
Talk 1370.
This is Danny Walker from American Super Camp and the Broster Chicken Road Race Factory team, and you are listening to Speed City, so get your elbows up.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
2 weeks, boys and girls. Circuit of the Americas, Formula One.
Yeah.
I cannot wait, man.
Austin, Texas, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I don't even know who is that? Oh, that's Vince Young, huh? I saw him on the sidelines at the Cotton Bowl today for the Longhorns.
Yeah, hook him.
Speaking of...
I know.
I'm an Aggie. Les is a Longhorn. It's all right.
I'm a Mustang.
Matter. And that's right. You're a Mustang.
Forgot Stay off about sidewalks. That.
MotoGP boys, heck of a race, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah. If Marquez needed any reason to prove why he's going to be world champion this year, he did it again today in Thailand. A really close race, fantastic stuff. And I mean, you know, whatever they throw at him, whether it's Vinales, Dovi, Rossi early on, he's the man. He's the deal. He's Hamilton. Of the two-wheel version.
Yeah, and Jorge getting thrown off his own bike, getting messed up with his leg and everything, that's not a good way to wrap up
his horse. His horse threw him.
That was a scary-looking crash. And when was it? Was it on...
it was during practice the
other
day.
I was thinking it was Friday, yeah.
Yeah, he demolished the thing. And remember, he crashed at Aragon.
Yeah, that's right.
Oof.
But those man, they were back and forth at the end of the race.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. But I think it wraps up as Honda.
Yeah, I mean, Danny went out, but it was a heck of a race. Marquez, I mean, any one of the top four could have won that race. It was that ridiculous the last few laps.
I would love to see it. Love to see that Rossi is still...
He's still there.
Still in the
He was right there with Vinales, and he actually had a close call with Vinales. That was Rossi's fault. I mean, if truth be told, but I thought it was really classy that he pulled up next to Rossi on the cool down lap and greeted him and acknowledged it. And so I was like, thank you, Rossi. That's keeping it up.
How about to celebrate their 40th each? We do a Rossi Raikkonen documentary.
Ooh, I like that.
Completely different ends of the spectrum. What? Mr. Hey, very happy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that conversation would sound like.
It would be pretty interesting.
Did you guys see Dovi and Marquez after the race? They were embracing. It was pretty cool, actually. You could tell they get along, high level of respect between them and having fun, pushing each other. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. These guys, you know, I like seeing that. You know, we talk about sense of battle on a friendly field. Those two definitely demonstrate it. And so I appreciate that in the sportsmanship of it.
Hey, just want to say, people who are out there listening, and it sounds like we got some new fans today, some new folks calling in. Hey, look us up when you're in Austin, or tweet to us, direct tweet, whatever. Find out where to go. We'll give you some ideas on what's happening in town, where the party is.
Oh yeah,
where the blue at the whatever the parties are going
you blew
on.
It big, I don't know.
Yeah, wherever it is. Well, we'll tell you what's going on.
That's true. We're all based here in Austin, so you want to know what's happening in Formula One? Hit us up. We're happy to talk about it.
Yeah, you'll usually hear one of the three of us on microphone at Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Or running around the paddock, running the VIP
on the big
forums.
Screens. We usually do something on the big screens, too.
Yep,
we'll be doing the local radio broadcast, so we're going to be all over the place at COTA that weekend, but all right, we're about to wrap it up here. Always the core to find all of what we do and where we are and all our content is our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And we've got lots of content up there on the site. We have podcasts. We put all these radio shows out as podcasts.
Yep, and SoundCloud, too. The longer versions, James Raven, who I mentioned. I also spoke to Joshua Carr. All of that stuff is going out on SoundCloud, and we'll put a loop together during the F1 weekend so that we can point you that way, and you can get revved up when you're in the car on the way there to the circuit or whatever you're doing, and we'll introduce you to some of the other guys that are racing that weekend.
Absolutely, and when you start to get near Austin, be sure and download the COTA app and the Speed City app. We'll be feeding the audio there as well when you're on site or if you're just around town to keep up with all the ongoings.
Yeah, it's a good point. The COTA app is a good place, too, because during the race, if you got the COTA app, you can plug in your headphones and you can hear our race broadcast on the COTA app and get that local perspective on what's happening in Austin and on the track. And we'll, of course, have a post-race show for the last few minutes right after the race in Austin, unless it goes really long, and then we may not. But you'll also be able to pick it up here on the radio on Talk 1370 in Austin. So you can, if you're in town, you can check it out. And like Jonathan said, we got a ton of stuff on SoundCloud. You know, in fact, we didn't get to play the Paul Tarsi history of the Japanese Grand Prix, and it was a fantastic. You did that with Paul a couple days ago.
Yep,
it was really good. He talked all about the James Hunt, and the race that was so famous that the movie Rush was on.
The one that Mario won at Fuji,
exactly,
1976.
Yeah, so we have that up on SoundCloud, the full interview on that.
I'm also going to put those Christian Silt extracts too, because a lot of people were really interested in what he had to say, and if you missed it or you want to go back on it, that'll be on SoundCloud too.
Yep. All right, well, thanks for tuning in to Speed City this week, and we will talk to you next week.
Adios.
Ciao, y'all.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.